How do we begin to master relative truth?
Relative truth?
Yeah, because that's the common. Mm-hmm.
So first, you're seeing those, you know, understanding first this one, trying to refrain, not trying to abandon, trying to stay away from all negativities, much as possible. So that's a Buddha's four-line teachings. He says, do not commit non-virtuous actions whatsoever. So this is what it means. Tiniest actions, non-virtuous, much as possible, you have to abandon. Then accumulate or practice virtue much as possible. So similar in that way. And then to train one's mind. Train one's mind is to see actually the reality of the nature of the mind. So those three trainings, or those three statements are the condensed, that's the teachings, that's the doctrine of the Buddha. So when we train ourselves, so engaging ourselves so that we don't go against, so you have to, then all these teachings are based on, you know, how we act into this world. And like we were talking earlier, that what is good, what is bad, you know, what we term bad, then we need to abandon that. What we term good, then we need to practice that one, we need to engage in that. So this way you practice that one and you try to concentrate and that, now understanding of that one, how focused you are to accomplish that virtue, how focused you are to actually to be able to say no and refrain from those non-virtue. And that concentration brings to another plane where you broaden your understanding of the reality. Then you come to see the nature of the mind, which is wisdom. This is how the training is based. So that's why, you know, Buddha's teachings, like I told you earlier, you have to see the importance of why this training of moral discipline is important. Very, very important.
Samsara is very addictive, and it's you have aversion and you have desire, and you have to work with that. And there's ignorance. That's just the root of ignorance, and just having to deal with that ignorance, and being able to have the discipline to stop. Mm-hmm. So. By just sitting silently?
No, this whole thing is again based on the view. You know, like we were talking earlier, the view. Why you are actually practicing to refrain from bad actions or bad non-virtue, why you are actually engaging or trying to cultivate virtue, is so that you can be free from suffering. And so what is actually saying, or who is saying, or who is creating suffering, is that, you know, that believer I. So then from now the higher point of view, then Buddha becomes, he now becomes very philosophical. And he says that whoever believes, God, and then this is that notion, our I, you know, the notion I, that we believe in I, that I have to be happy, I should not have any sorrow, that believer, see. But do we actually know who that I is? And Buddha tells, look into that person or that being who actually is wishing to be happy, wishing not to be unhappy. So we just blindly believe at this time, but Buddha, you know, then there is this whole, you know, practice of seeing who this believer is, or that I. So, but this I, we believe so strongly because of our habit, you know. We believe that this I is real, we believe in this way. But then turn inward and see where this I is. I, although it's not there, but it's, you know, we can say it's not there, but our eye is represented by our emotion, how desirous we are, how angry we are, how stupid we are, how arrogant we are, how jealous we are. This is what's representing that I. See? I actually cannot be pointed in the flesh, blood, and but it's again, it, you know, in our emotion, that's our emotional presence, that I. But again, you look into that I, where that I is, even that emotion is not real. So you look, but we, you know, although it's not there, we believe that I is there, this is how. So that's what Buddha said, that, you know, clinging to that I is like clinging to the rope in the dark, a snake. So then, you know, you're in a dark room, you stumble up on a rope, then you think, oh, this is a snake. Then all fear rises that there is a snake in the room, and then you cannot creep anywhere, any place you move, you think that snake is coming toward you. And that's why we believe in I, that's why wherever we are, we have that fear of the snake, you know. We don't know yet that there is no snake because we are in the darkness of ignorance. But the moment you know to turn on the light, or the moment you reach toward the light and know to click the switch, then the light goes on and see that there is no snake, it was just a rope. That wisdom is the light shining, that wisdom is the light illuminating that I was not there. Wisdom, that light is like the wisdom showing that I or that ego, that clinging was not there. The moment the light turns on and your fear is same, isn't it? The moment the light goes on and the fear diminishing or the fear coming to an end, isn't in that very same moment, wouldn't you think? When the light turns on and then you see or your fear completely drops at the moment. So that is, the moment you drop your eye, liberation is there. So like that. Mm-hmm. This is how. But at this point, because of habit, we believe I. So now if you see into your eye, then you don't have to, it's based on I, you know, it's based on cause and karma like that, but if you can directly see that selflessness of how I believe to this reality, naturally you'll be able to, you know, free yourself from karma, that subtleties of karma, you can, because you are looking from a higher view. So this is how it goes.
And like we're talking about discipline and you know, make a vow and you know, stay with it and not engage, and like, as you know, being as people who live in the West, and I think, like, when you go and you get to have a Dharma teaching, or you get to do like a retreat or something, then you get really enthusiastic, and then you know, you're kind of more sensitive and wanna, you know, practice better discipline. But kind of as time goes on and you kind of get busy, you know, a lot of times in the West we get so busy with work, and kind of it seems like combination of work and even like friends and family kind of work against that discipline, and it gets like harder and harder. And even, you know, like people, you know, you might be trying to practice discipline, but people might look at you and say, what are you doing? Come on, come have fun. You're just doing stuff, you know, because people look at it like that. And I don't know, I think, you know, and you kind of know, you know, like the Dharma, you know, all these things are like the correct way and the way to find, you know, good things. But then you kind of, you know, you get combination of work and busyness and you're exhausted, and it seems like you kind of forget those things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know kind of what the question is, but like,
yeah.
Any no, comments or advice?
Yeah. No, the thing is, you have to see, like I was saying earlier, that why you are doing, why you are actually practicing, why we need to practice the Dharma. You have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the main essence is very important, you know. And then to come to that, to extract that essence, how you can achieve that essence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the example, the traditional example is like, you want tea. You know, you clearly understand that what we need is tea. We are not looking for the pot, we are not looking for the fire, we are not looking for, you know, just to hold the pot together or look for the beauty of the pot and all of those. You know, we are actually looking to get the tea. But to get the tea, what are your means? What are your, what are those conditions that you have to bring together to make the tea? That's important.
Mm-hmm.
So then if any of the circumstance is not present, then the tea is not going to happen. You have to have water. If water is not there, even all the pots, beautiful stove and beautiful, you have gas there, everything won't happen. And all, you know, you have everything, a pot is leaky, then it won't happen. You know, all these conditions have to be right like that. So then you have to see now why you are practicing dharma is to be free, to be happy, to attain enlightenment. And what actually will bring enlightenment? You have to see that. And what are required? So this is the whole path, so like we are saying the path. And when we talk about the path, there are many ways, like path beginning from individual liberation, focused on discipline, or the training of the mind to see the nature of the mind, or to see the reality from way of there, the reality. And there's nothing wrong, everything is perfect. So you have to use, so now you, my advice is to see which way you want to go. Now, which way you want, are you looking to? So surely we are not able to become monks and nuns, yeah? So monks and nuns, you cannot take the full precepts, but then the entrance is, of course, from, you know, to get up there you have to enter from below. But discipline is very important, so you have to choose one, at least one, you know, even if you don't, if you choose 10, you have to choose one. Because this is how the training goes.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect, during Buddha's time, there was this monk who was very, very dull. Now, he was very dull. He couldn't, his sutras were out of his capacity, you know. Buddha gave just one stanza teaching to him, just one. He was made to sweep the Kungarawa, or the monastery's floor. And Buddha said, dirt is impure. Impurity is suffering. And then he had to, you know, take that broom, and every day he had to do that. That was the only verse that Buddha gave him. But as he did that, because of the training, he came to the state of Arhat. Arhat. So, now this is very interesting when we talk about Arhat. Arhat Pakwa. Pakwa meaning one who has advanced. Advanced. We arhat meaning also some, it is said foe destroyer, or you know, we can also say arya. Arya meaning one who has gone, who has become, who has advanced. So in the path, we have to see that how far we have gone. So, you know, every day we have to advance little by little. If you are there, stuck, then you have not advanced. You have to advance. So, what is stopping you? You have to break through that one. So, then this whole, then you can understand, you know, in your practice, you are trying to practice dharma. That fear that you will not be, you know, if I'm practicing dharma, I shouldn't be doing that. You know, what actually is saying why you can't do that? What is stopping you? And it will be, your answer will be something that you don't actually understand. You don't understand why you're actually practicing dharma. So that's why we need to see that our what we are trying to achieve is happiness or liberation, and then what will actually bring liberation. This is good. So, you know, also in the practice, in the Western, because it's so much with our mind habit, you know, we always think that we imagine, you know, like liberation or enlightenment is some kind of state, like the Zen, the popular Zen. Zen koan or Zen teaching is that your cup is already full, it cannot take any more, you know, whatever you pour, it's just spilling over. So, because we have so much expectations, that's why it hinders our, but this is how we go about, you know, if we start to follow the path, we start to follow the basis, like that, and training. So pick one, like I do. What precept have you taken? What is stopping you from? Are you actually able to do that? The one that you have precept, that you have vowed. What have you done that's breaking your precept? What is actually, you know, what's tempting you that you break that precept? What's the difficulty in actually not being able, that you're not being able to follow your precept? And then you have to use the antidote to that one. And then when you go past that one, then you have advanced yourself. See, this is Arya. Then you advance yourself. So you have to see, like Buddha path is like a map. You start from once you start to see, once you start to use like precept or like a vow, then you can actually see the picture where you are, and then your destiny, you see the destination clearly, and to get from here to there, how to get there, and then what is, you know, which wrong exits you have taken. Mm-hmm. So this is how we need to see. Mm-hmm. So then, if it is something that is keeping you from that path, or from that path that advances, then perhaps it's something that you should not be doing. You know, you have to refrain. So this is that's the antidote that you have to use. But if it is something that's not distracting you, or this, you are still getting further, then I don't see that you should worry about, you know. So this is what it means by what you are trying to achieve is the tea, and then how to get the tea, that's important.
So then it's also important to know what vows you can keep, and those are the precepts you take, because then you won't be breaking them.
Yes.
You take what vows you can keep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm.